Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Catherine Faw Morris. She has just published her first book. It's a novel called Young God. She joins us by telephone from New York City. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Catherine, wow, what a book. I understand it took you quite a while to finally come up with what we have here.
It did. I was working on it for 5 years, which is pretty standard for a novel, I think, but it was in a very different form for most of that time. And really, in the last 6 months, I cut it down to what you see here.
So it was a lot longer, and you just cut and slashed and ripped and tore it into what it is now.
Yes. It was, at one point, over 100,000 words, and now it's much shorter than that. Once I started that slash and burn process, it went pretty quickly.
It's very economical. You live in the New York City area now, but you're originally from this area in North Carolina where you've set the story. Tell us about this place. I've never been.
The book is set where I grew up, which is in Northwest North Carolina in the Appalachian Mountains. The county I grew up in is kind of notorious for a lot of illicit activity, moonshine specifically, and out of this moonshine running, NASCAR started. So all the stock car racing started from these moonshiners trying to outrun the law all the time. So we are the home, we are the world capital of moonshine and NASCAR. And it was just, you know, a very rural place to grow up. At the same time, there was, you know, a lot of weird history, like I just mentioned.
And your family, particularly on your dad's side, has some deep roots in this area. You go back way back on his side, don't you?
Yes. His family moved there in the 1700s from Switzerland, and they've been there ever since. So we go way back.
Your protagonist in this story is a teenage girl named Nikki. Tell us about her.
Nikki is a 13-year-old girl who has been living in foster care for most of her life. And at the beginning of the book, she's just run away from the group home she's been living in to live with her mother again. And that's where the book starts. But she's kind of this girl who's kind of always felt abandoned her whole life, very impoverished. And so that's where the book starts, with this, you know, 13-year-old girl who you assume is a victim, is, you know, very innocent and hurt.
She's a survivor.
Yes. she's definitely a survivor, not a victim at all. And you see that throughout the book. You know, she does whatever she has to do to survive whatever situation she's in. And that was very important to me when I set out to write this book, that I didn't want to write about a girl from this area who's only a victim and who's only disenfranchised. I really wanted to write a different kind of character.
Nikki's a bad girl. She's a tough kid. She has survived all this, and her dad is really an amazing character.
Yeah, her dad is Coy Hawkins, who she always refers to by both his names because she's very enamored of him and thinks of him as this kind of rock star. He was once the biggest coke dealer in the county, and now he's kind of fallen off of that. So he is protective of her, but he also is manipulative and uses her for his own needs as well. So they have their relationship is really the heart of the book.
You got away from this area in North Carolina. You're obviously very in tune with it. You're thinking about it a lot, and yet you couldn't wait to get away, could you?
No, I was always plotting and planning to leave from as early as I can remember. It just it didn't feel like the right place for me, and I always wanted to come to New York, which is what I did as soon as I could when I was 18. But, of course, the irony of that is as soon as I start to write a book, I write about, you know, where I grew up because it resonates in my mind so much, and I do think about it all the time. And it's just such fertile material as well. I just couldn't resist writing about it.
You're writing what you know. I read some of these interviews your publicist included with the press material, and you talk about your youth in this part of North Carolina, and you were kind of wild yourself.
Yeah, I was definitely, you know, experimenting a lot, doing a lot of drugs and hanging out with a lot of older men. And yeah, I mean, a lot of this is not coming out of nowhere. You know, I didn't need to do a lot of research for this book, for example. At the same time, I had a much more privileged life than my characters ever did. You know, I grew up pretty middle class and was, you know, had supportive parents. But I was very rebellious as a teenager, yes.
In one of these interviews, you're quoted as saying that you should never be friends with a writer. Explain.
I was kind of joking, but, you know, writing is kind of stealing from everyone around you in a way. You know, everything could be material, I guess, is a cynical way of looking at it. But I try not to actually write about people who are who are closest to me. But and actually, none of the characters I write are a one-to-one representation of any person. But definitely, you know, I'm an observer, and I watch people, and I process that, and that comes out through my writing. You know, it's kind of inevitable.
Are there any bookstores back in your hometown?
There's like a Bible bookstore, like a religious mm-hmm. bookstore, and then we had a library. I spent a lot of time at the library. Just like I would just pick a random book and start reading it. Nobody was ever telling me or guiding me. But there were no chain bookstores or independent bookstores other than, you know, religious bookstores.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering if this book is in stock in your old hometown or whether the library would have it, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. I'm not sure how people there are responding to it. I actually never mention the name of the place where I grew up in the book, but I think everybody kind of knows where it's at.
That's true, yeah. But they all know you. They know your family, and the book just came out, so it's probably going to take a while for them to figure it out.
Right, yeah. Yes.
And you, in another one of these interviews, you say writing books is one way to live forever. I really like that. That's so true.
Yeah, I guess I am kind of interested in immortality, in whatever form that might take. And, you know, art is really what lives on throughout the ages, whether that be paintings or books or music. And I do. I think that books are one way to, like, keep yourself in the world forever. You know, you have no idea what future generations will think of your work, but it's one way to, like, put out something that has the possibility of being immortal in some way, which is really interesting to me.
Catherine Faw Morris joins us. Her novel is Young God, and you got your title from a music, didn't you?
I did. It's from a song by this band called The Swans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very brutal song, but it really fits the book. It's, I think, about a serial killer, and it's kind of hard to listen to, but it's, you know, it's brash and harsh, just like the book is. And when I think of Nikki, I do think of her as a young god.
And one reason that New York was so attractive to you was because of the music scene back in the 80s, the punk scene there. That was very attractive to you, wasn't it?
It was. It was. I was really obsessed with punk rock when I was a teenager. Just the idea that you could come to New York with nothing and make a new identity for yourself and live off your art and just become this, like, artistic creation. It's kind of, when I actually came to New York, it was kind of impossible to do that. The rent is much more expensive now, for example. But that romantic idea was definitely the thing that drove me to come here.
I was working in a record store back in the late 70s and early 80s when a lot of these records were coming out, and I can remember listening to Blank Generation and music like that, and all these years later, you got a blurb from Richard Hell, and this is a really, ooh, I don't think I've ever seen a blurb like that before. Whoa. How did you feel when you got that?
Great. you know, I thought it was a great blurb. I think it fits the book, and, you know, Richard Hell has always been one of my influences, so I was very excited to get anything from him.
Okay, what would you say to somebody who doesn't know anything about this book? How would you warn them? How would you entice them to read it?
I would definitely say it's a love it or hate it kind of book. It's not for everyone. I guess the warning would be, you know, it's a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But I think that's also enticing to a lot of people. And also with this book, I was really trying to do something new. I don't know if I pulled that off or not, but I was trying to do something new with a literary form, something that felt exciting and like the future of fiction in some way, that it might be heading this way. So I think that's one way to entice people to read the book. It's not just about the plot. It is also the form. And it's a really fast read.
I'll agree with that. I read a lot late at night, and we have a dog who is terrified of thunderstorms. And so a couple weeks ago, I had this book on the top of my stack, and a big storm came through, and the dog was cowering down in the bathroom where he hides from the storms. And so I sat down there with him, and I started reading the book, and I could not put it down. I read it in just a few hours, and I was just like, oh my. And then, of course, after that, I couldn't go to sleep. I loved it.
Thank you.
But you're right. It's not for everybody. There's a lot of violence. We've had Frank Bill on the program a couple of times for both of his books. And your part of North Carolina reminds me a little bit of his part of Indiana. This is some dark stuff.
Yeah. There was a lot of violence around me growing up. You know, I think it comes out of poverty and isolation. And just drugs attract a lot of violence, just inevitably. So, yeah, I think that whole Appalachian corridor is pretty similar, you know, all the way from Indiana to Alabama, sort of.
You wrote a piece about a writer that is a legend, I think, to some people, and that's Flannery O'Connor. You wrote a piece about her for the Paris Review, and you had some insights about her that I really appreciated, some things that I'd never thought about before. And this whole bit about she kind of thought of God as a crazy lover, that quote, that really struck me.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, Flannery O'Connor is a huge influence and literary hero of mine. I guess when I first started reading her work, which was in high school, I didn't really understand all the Catholic undertones to it. I was never around Catholic people, and you know, everybody was like Baptist where I grew up, Protestant. But then when I started studying her more in college, I started to see, you know, underpinning everything is this Catholicism and her faith, and it really made the story something else for me, like something much bigger. And then I was reading her prayer journal, which is what the piece is about, which she wrote while she was a student, a writing student. And just the way she talked about God was so interesting to me. Yeah, like she was kind of having a love affair with him in some way. And I, you know, I didn't grow up religious, and I just found it fascinating.
Yeah, that was when she was in Iowa City, and of course, at that point, she didn't know that she was going to die so young.
Right, exactly. So it's even more interesting in a way that she had such a strong faith even before she knew she was sick.
You clearly have read widely, and I'm sure you have some favorite writers, and a lot of them are kind of old school. You're into Raymond Chandler, that's for sure.
Yes, I do love Raymond Chandler.
What are some of the other authors that you've admired and that you like to read?
I really love Joan Didion, Joy Williams, these kind of like precision writers. Mm. Dennis Johnson is a great example of like a lot of my influences coming together in one person, you know, short, precise sentences, and then all the drug culture as well. And I think I always come back to my favorite book. The book that I think is the best constructed ever would be The Prime of Miss Jean Brody by Muriel Spark.
Mm.
I just think it's so perfectly put together. It just fascinates me every time I read it. And I'm really interested in the construction of books.
Catherine Fall Morris joins us. You've also got some subtle tributes. I'm sure I missed most of them in your new novel, Young God, but one of them is Nikki's hair.
Yes, that's a tribute to this German movie that I've always loved called Christiana F., which is kind of this cult 80s movie about a teenage junkie prostitute in Berlin. And, you know, David Bowie did the soundtrack, and it's a movie that I've always loved. And in the movie, the girl has pink hair, so that's why Nikki dyes her hair pink with Kool-Aid in the book.
And I heard a rumor that you're working on another book that maybe has some slight passing resemblance to that same theme.
My new book is, the main character is a prostitute who's also a terrorist, so more violent women. That seems to be my theme, or what I'm obsessing over at the moment, so yeah.
Catherine Fall Morris joins us. Her novel is Young God, recently published by a really great publisher, Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. Now, how did you manage that? How did you get this book sold? How did you get the gig?
It was all kind of a wild dream that came true. I went to Columbia University for my MFA, and I met my agent at a party there. But I didn't email him until 3 or 4 years later when I was finally finished with the book. And he agreed to take on the book, and I did a few edits for him, and then we sold it to FSG. It all happened kind of quickly, and I was amazed because I thought of it as more of this kind of weird art project rather than a traditional novel, and I didn't expect a traditional publisher to buy it, so I was shocked and amazed.
Mm. Well, things are changing. Times are changing. And Farrar, Straus, and Giroux also publishes Frank Bill, so I guess they're open-minded.
Yeah, we actually have the same editor, Frank Bill and I. So,
did you have Gary Steingart for any of your classes at Columbia?
I did not, though. He was teaching there when I was there, but I never had a class with him.
He's a character.
Yes.
Catherine Fall Morris joins us. Okay, you grew up in this county in North Carolina. Your life is very different now. In Brooklyn, what's it like? What's your life like now?
Well, the life of any writer is kind of boring. You know, you just kind of sit there and stare at the computer and hope things happen. So that's basically what I do all day. And I have two dogs who I walk, and you know, I have married, and it's a very stable life, especially compared to my teenage years were pretty chaotic and all over the place. So this is very stable and allows me to get a lot of work done.
They're pit bulls, aren't they?
They are, yes.
The much maligned pit bulls. They don't deserve that, do they?
No, they're the sweetest dogs, very loyal. I never grew up with dogs, but when I met my husband, he's always had pit bulls. So I don't love all dogs, but I do love all pit bulls.
Catherine Fall Morris joins us. Her new novel is Young God. Let's talk a little bit more about the story without doing any spoilers. What's the trajectory here that we can give away?
Well, what happens is we meet this young girl, Nikki, who's 13, and she reunites with her father, Coy Hawkins, who is this former drug dealer kind of who has just gotten out of prison. And the trajectory of the story is basically how she is able, by by the end to take over his drug dealing business and make it bigger than he ever thought it would be.
I have to say, I'm kind of fond of peripheral characters in a lot of stories that I read, and a lot of times they become my favorite character. And when she goes back to find Coy, he's living with this other young woman. And I have to say, I really liked her as a character. I think she was my favorite.
Yeah, I really like her too. Her name is Angel. She is Nikki's father's girlfriend. She's one of the more human characters, I think, in the book. You know, Nikki and her father are kind of monstrous in a way, but Angel and a few other characters are really relatable because they're human and they're suffering, and they really have much more of a moral compass than the two main characters.
I like Angel's wardrobe.
Yes. She's very flashy.
I'll say. Well, we won't give away any of the details. We'll leave that to the readers, but it's very fast-moving, very punchy, and you really enjoyed the editing process, didn't you, when you decided, I've got to cut this thing? That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I love throwing stuff away. It's a great pleasure of mine. I would just delete. It was really satisfying. And I also had this feeling that I was making it so much better, and it just felt great that I could just cut, and it was also getting better at the same time.
And I can see why you like Lydia Davis, because you have that same kind of economy.
Yeah. I'm just really drawn to minimalism and saying things in the least amount of words. I think that can be so powerful. Of course, I love language. I love, elaborate stuff as well. But like when I sit down to write, what comes out are these really sharp, short sentences.
The book's only been out as we're taping this a couple of weeks, so it's kind of early to see what the feedback is. I'm sure you got some early stuff from some of the trade journals. Do you care?
I mean, of course, I think everybody cares, and they're lying if they're not, if they say they don't. At the same time, it's a divisive book, and it's kind of like you get it or you don't get it. That seems to be what I'm taking away from the reviews. Like, either people really love it or they really hate it.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of in-between.
So when you do an interview, how many interviews have you done? I don't imagine you've done that many so far.
Probably 10.
Okay. Do you still try to be economical? Do you still try to, because it's tough when you're doing an interview, you got to fill in a certain amount of time. I mean, it's hard on the interviewer if you're being pithy and terse.
Yeah, I guess, I'm not like, I don't talk in these terse sentences all the time in real life. I try to answer everything fully. At the same time, I'm not like a big, I'm not super loquacious to begin with, so.
Uh-huh. Well, it sort of goes against the grain, doesn't it? I mean, you're sitting there in front of your computer, and it's quiet, and you're alone, and you're undisturbed, you're with your thoughts, and then suddenly you have to be out here and kind of do the dance.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a hard thing for all writers, because a natural writer is kind of a hermit and living in their head all the time. So to now have to come out and do all this promotion, as if you're a performer, it's definitely, you have to adjust your brain a little bit.
I was reading another one of these written interviews that your publicist sent me, and there was something in there where you said that your mother had really gotten religious big time recently, and this has been sort of a strange thing for you.
Yes, because like I said, we did not grow up religious. We kind of went to church because it was expected of us, just for appearance's sake. But she has, in the last few years, become pretty religious, which is just, I think it's good for her in a lot of ways, so I don't question it too much, but it is odd, definitely.
North Carolina is such a big state. There's so many different things going on with the topography. You mentioned that your mother's family is from along the coast. Is that like around Wilmington or?
No, they're further up around the Outer Banks.
Okay.
It's a very small town. It's the last town on the mainland before you take the ferry to Ocracoke. You know, about 200 people live there. It's a little shrimping village.
Wow.
It's super tiny and isolated, much more so than where I grew up.
Sounds great.
It is great. It's beautiful, very beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I've been in North Carolina a few times, and it's just so beautiful there, the mountains and the coast. And it's an amazing state, and yet it's probably also kind of suffocating in those little towns.
Yeah, it really is. You know, because even if you grew up in the suburbs, that kind of means you're near a city. You know, I was not near any large city. Everybody I grew up with, their families had also lived there forever. So it was kind of just this, you know, we were all just had been there for so many generations. You know, there are roads in my town with my last name on them. You know, there's people who look like me. You know, it's like it was very, I just kind of wanted to escape. But, you know, to some people that's very comforting at the same time to have those strong roots and to just stick it out and stay there.
So if I was to go to your old hometown, I'd see a lot of people with the last name of Faw?
Yes, and that's probably the only place they live in the whole country.
Really? I've never heard the name before.
Yeah, it's very unusual. Hmm. It means peacock in German, actually.
Oh, wow. And that's from the Swiss?
Yeah.
Okay. The book is Young God by Catherine Faw Morris. It's her first novel. She's joined us on the program today. And she went to great lengths to do this interview because we needed to have her on a landline, and she went clear across town. Did you go from Brooklyn to Manhattan, for heaven's sake?
I did. It really only takes about 20 minutes. It's not too bad.
Well, that's still a big effort, and we really appreciate it because we needed her on that landline, the cell phone wasn't going to work, so that's just really fabulous that you're willing to do that, and we really appreciate you having you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll be looking for that next book. Am I have to wait 4 or 5 years for that one?
I hope not, but we'll see.
Are you going to write it really long to start with?
No, I'm actually writing it kind of short. I'm kind of sticking to the style that I found, so...
And there's no connection to this book. This is going to be totally separate, totally different.
Totally different. It's set in New York. It's in first person. It has nothing to do with the South.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. I'll be watching for that one, and hopefully we can have you back on the program. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Book Nook. The book is Young God. Catherine Faw Morris wrote it for The Book Nook. I'm Vic McCunis. Tune into the program next week when we'll be joined by longtime New Yorker cartoonist Roz Chast. She has just published a graphic memoir about her parents. It's called Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.